It's the river of God's anointing, and that's what we're all about at Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Every Sunday live at this time, our new time now, 3 o'clock Tampa time, from 3 to 5, used to be 4 to 6, and we're so glad you've joined us, or perhaps you join us later on by listening on our website at whatever way and whatever time. Maybe it's in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, and you get up and listen to this. God bless you. We're glad you've joined us today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, in here in the control room, actually not the control room, the studio, with Nan Watson. And one of our radio team. Good to see you, Nan.
Good to see you, Pastor.
Yeah, and we're going to have Betty join us in a little while.
Oh, yes.
From Indiana.
That's
and she was
fun.
Here live last week.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, all the way from a very little town in Indiana. Very small.
A cold town.
A cold town, yes.
In temperature.
Yeah, exactly. And we are, yeah, we're a little chilly, but not anything like what they are experiencing up there and other places in the world. So it's a beautiful, gorgeous, not a cloud in the sky day in Clearwater, Florida. And we're glad you've joined us today. We're going to talk about God's Word and how His Word is constantly working in our lives and changing us. And Nan, I thank God for His Word because His word never changes. It's always the same. And God says what He means what He says, and then fulfills what He says. And isn't that cool?
That's cool. We're the ones who do the changing as we learn and grow in Him.
You know? We do. And so many times we have a hard time accepting that God is working on us and changing us and don't even realize it maybe sometimes. And then the obstacles come along in our lives, the difficulties. And I like what Graham Cook says. He says we should start seeing those as opportunities instead of obstacles. We should start seeing those as forms of growth, the way we can learn more about God through the quote-unquote opportunity, not the obstacle, you know?
I can reflect back on some opportunities I've had in the past, but I can see where I grew from those. They were very difficult.
Yes.
Some of them were very difficult at the time.
Right.
You question, why is this going on? This is not fair.
Oh,
why
yeah.
is it happening?
Exactly.
But yet, after you get past, you're through it and past it, you can reflect back on and you can say, I grew stronger in the Lord.
Yes.
I now understand the plans that He has for me, as you know, is in Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes, the plans He has for us to prosper us and give us a future and hope. And that's what this broadcast is all about. If you're joining us for the first time, this is a broadcast centered around the Word of God with some great contemporary music, which you will love. And the theme today is, what can faith do in our lives? What can faith do? Why have faith? What is it all about? How do we walk in it? How do we know if we have it? How do we know if we don't? We're going to get some nitty-gritty things going on here in the book of Joshua, where we've been studying. And if you have your Bible and want to follow along and aren't driving down the road, then Joshua chapter 4 is a good place for you to find while we are talking here just a moment. Nan, we had a fantastic first outreach event last Sunday night at the nightclub Blur in downtown Dunedin, Florida. Was that fun or what?
It was a lot of fun. We had anticipated what it was going to be like, and I think it fulfilled for myself anyway, fulfilled my anticipation of what I thought it was going to be like. Because this was the first one we've
first
ever
one,
had.
Yeah.
We had no idea really what to expect. Just a lot of people came together,
right,
worked together, believing by faith,
right,
that God was going to move in that place. And I know that people's lives were indeed touched by not only what the band, which,
yes,
did a wonderful job, but the band singing, the songs they shared,
the
words that you shared for only a few minutes. You only spoke for 19 minutes and 30 seconds.
Really?
I timed
is that,
you.
You timed me?
I timed you.
That is a less time that, you know, yeah, than I normally do.
Well, you
do,
said you were going to do 20 minutes,
yeah,
so you did good.
Okay, good.
But we had a blast. It was fun.
It was fun. And actually reaching out in that venue was very interesting, and we will be doing more of that. Our next Blur event is January the 20th, so you can put that on your calendar. But anyway, it was great. Just changing location and doing something
right.
different.
Well, I had the opportunity, thank God, I had the opportunity to speak with a gentleman. I missed most of what you spoke about, but he came to the door.
Okay.
He started talking to me.
Cool.
And I was afraid that he was going to, you know, interrupt people trying to hear you. So I said, can we please step outside?
Cool.
And we stepped outside, and he shared with me how he'd been on a board of a particular denomination church for 5 years. He doesn't judge people. He's not going to judge us for what we're doing. You know, and just, but he, I had the opportunity to, as Pastor Jim said, who was also at the door, to plant a few seeds there.
Fantastic.
You know, and it was pretty powerful.
Oh.
I mean, I was so excited for that opportunity. I basically just listened to him because that's what he needed.
Sure.
He didn't need the word quoted to him. He knew the word.
Right.
He'd been in church.
He just needed to talk. And, you know, that's what we need to each get through our heads, that there are people out there in all walks of life, in every place we go, that do need a listening ear, that do need a smile, that do need a hug, that need reassurance that somebody cares about them, that God loves them, you know? That's what we're all about.
Well, I got in a social setting here a while back, and, well, not here, but recently, and before that, the Lord has spoke to me and said, just listen. Before I even went, just listen. I thought, okay, well, that must be applied to something later on, whatever, just listen. So I had the opportunity with one particular woman who was sharing with me, just talking and showing me some stuff and all, and later I realized, just listen.
Just listen.
Just listen. There was really nothing for me to really say, just to listen, to be a listening ear. And I think that we all need to learn, like you just said, to do more and more of that, because there are, mm-hmm, a lot of people, they don't need the Bible crammed down their throat.
Right.
They've already had that.
Exactly.
They just need the love of Jesus shining,
amen,
through us,
woo,
listening to them.
And God does love us.
God
and he
does
cares
love us
about every detail of our lives. And so we are going to start with prayer and then get into our first song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to be live on this radio station and to share the Word of God with our listeners. Lord, we thank you that you are working in each of our lives to cause us to become more like you, that you are putting a desire within us to change and be more loving and kinder and more receptive to others. And Lord, we thank you that that is happening. And Lord, today as we go through this show, let the faith that is within us just build and increase. And Lord, let us get stronger, that by the end of this show, we will know that your anointing has taught us something, mm-hmm, that your anointing has encouraged us, that your presence in these songs and in the things that are taught and said has actually done a fresh new work in us. Lord, we claim that. We ask you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite songs that we do actually at Beacon of Hope, it's called The Stand by Christian Stanfill.
You stood before creation, eternity. My soul now life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say?
God, all I am is yours. I'll stand and declare that God is working in our lives, and that's what it's all about. Go with me to Joshua chapter 4. We left off last week. We went through a lot of chapter 4. If you missed the show last week, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and we're so blessed to be able to have every show for the last 2 or 3 years up there, Nan. It's okay. Cool. And there's a lot to listen to. If you can't sleep in the middle of the night, it's a good thing to get up and do.
It's a good thing to get up and do.
Here, it becomes like a training center with the word, you know, and so many of the shows are just anointed. God has just blessed us as we do them. So we thank God for that. So Joshua 4, starting with about verse 15, God told Joshua, command the priests carrying the chest of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. If you didn't hear our show last week, in the first part of Joshua 4, the priests had to put their feet into the Jordan River that was overflowing its banks with water. It was harvest time, so it was overflowing its banks, and they had to go first into that water, and then God was going to move like 2.5 million people behind them. Can you imagine how crazy
that's
is that?
Pretty crazy.
And it says in the first part of Joshua 4 that he did all that on dry ground because he just stood the water straight up, just the same miracle that he did in the Red Sea. So cool. So cool. So here we are, and we have that this miracle has happened. The people have crossed. And if you missed the first part of this last week, then go back and read Joshua chapter 4, the beginning. You'll catch up. Anyway, he told the priest carrying the chest to come up from the Jordan. Then so Joshua said to the priest, come on up, come out of the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is always symbolic of passing from death to life. Because the Jordan River is the very river that Jesus was baptized in water by John the Baptist. Very same river. And it represents going down in death, coming up in new life. So amazing, had the people gone into that water and the water not stood up on each side, they would have probably drowned. So it would have been that place of death. Anyway, so here's what happened. They did it. The priest carrying God's chest of the covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan. And as soon as the soles of the priest's feet touched dry ground, the Jordan waters resumed their flow within the banks just as before. Now we have the reverse miracle, Nan, the opposite of what happened a few verses before, where the water stands up and the whole riverbed dries out. Now we have, as soon as the priests come out of that river, the water goes right back. Isn't that cool?
That's cool. That, it took a lot of faith for those people to believe that. Can you imagine if you were, you know, some of those 2.5 million were, as they're walking through, looking at the water on each side as if going through, like, through an aquarium. When you go through an aquarium and there's a glass there and all the fish are on the other side, you know, it's just there.
Right.
You know, and can you imagine those who were doubters, they would wonder, when is the water coming in? But those who had faith,
right,
they just walked on through, following their leaders because they trusted their leaders.
Right.
And they knew they could trust their leaders because they had proved themselves in the past.
Amen. So. And, you know, it's similar to the Red Sea miracle. Very same type of thing that happened. And the children of Israel walking straight through on dry ground. Same type of thing. So the people came up out of the Jordan. It was on the 10th day of the first month, and they set up camp at Gilgal. This is very important where they set up camp. Gilgal means the rolling away and separation. It's that Gilgal is a metaphor for our salvation experience, where we roll away the past. You remember that old Sunday school song? Did you ever sing it? Because you grew up in church, and I did, too. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. All the burdens of my...
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
I don't remember how the rest of it goes.
I don't either.
But that's what that song was talking about. When we get saved, that God just rolls away the burdens of the past. He rolls away the sin of our youth or the sin of our past. And so the first place that they set up camp was a place called Gilgal. This is also representative of that 30-fold experience in God. We talk a lot on this show about the 30, 60, 100-fold, these stages in our Christian development. And that 30-fold is that initial experience where we find Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And the sin is rolled away. And we are separated from our sin. And it's gone. Because it says in the Word in Psalm 103 that God separates our sin as far as east is from the west. He doesn't remember it anymore. He doesn't go there. God doesn't go and say, oh, yeah, remember when you did this? God never does that. The devil does that.
The devil helps us do that from time to time, you know.
Because he's a liar and
the father of lies. Absolutely.
And he's a condemner, isn't he? Oh,
yes,
my
he
gosh. Yes. And he loves to do that. So Gilgal's the first place they made camp. And I think it's interesting that it was east of the Jordan, because east always talks about the new day. What direction does the sun come up in the morning?
The east?
Yeah. And it goes down in the west, right? Mm-hmm. So this was east of the Jordan. So right there on that east side of the Jordan is where they camped. And that represents the new day. And Joshua erected a monument at the Gilgal using the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And then he told the people of Israel, in the days to come, when your children ask their fathers, what are these stones doing here? Tell your children this. Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry ground. These 12 stones were a memorial of the miracle.
We need to set some stones in our lives.
Seriously, we do. You want to talk about that, Nan? Because I think this... it's a very important concept.
Well, I think it's important that for us to reflect back and see when God has moved in our lives at other times.
Right.
One way of putting stones in our lives would be to journal. We speak on the show about journaling. That could be a way.
It's really helpful. I do it all the time.
I was reading something in a journal that I had written back in June, and I'm like, I remember that. But I didn't really remember that until I read about it.
Until you read about it.
Because so much... things continue to occur in our lives, you know,
right.
that we just always move forward. But it's important to look at the 12 stones that we have erected in our
right.
lives to remember during those times that Satan is lying to us and trying to sidetrack us and get us off track. We can look back and say, another term we have used is put a stake in the ground.
Put a stake in the ground.
We can put a stake in the ground.
The 12, you know, the numbers mean a lot to me because they were very significant in the Word. You know that's true. The number 12 means God's government in our lives, okay? And there were 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. There were 12 sons of Jacob. There were 12 disciples. I could go on and on.
Right.
But the 12 means it's representative of God's government in our lives, where God says, wait a minute, let's work on this area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but we all, I'll just speak for me, I have areas where there are times that doubt creeps up, and I've got to go back and remember, whoa, wait a minute, you know, there was this miracle here. God answered prayer there. That's what these stones represent, these mm-hmm. these answers mm-hmm. to prayer. And then God's government in our lives says, wait a minute, I'm not going back to that place of doubt or unbelief. I'm moving forward and going to make sure I am under the government of God in my life. In other words, that I submit to God's thoughts, that I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, that I don't wallow around in the pain of the past, but that I will go to a, like this, like a stone, like a time of where God met my need mm-hmm. or answered my prayer. And from that, it causes me to be governed by the mind and the will and the wisdom of God and the peace of God. Do you want to comment on that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I kind of complicated it a little bit, but
just a wee bit for me. I don't know.
Okay.
There again, I mean, just back to the statement of we need to reflect back and see when God has seen us
exactly.
through difficult times.
Yes.
You know,
yes, that's the point.
I went through a marriage from, pardon expression, hell, because it was from hell. You know, it was incredible. I mean, the divorce process,
yes.
and it was pretty bad. You
right.
know, then stuff afterwards and dragging you back in court afterwards, it was really bad. But I can look back and I can see. In fact, in my Bible, I have you know, every once in a while we'll be doing reading somewhere in the Bible and I'll come across where I have made a notation.
Yes.
Before third hearing,
right.
Before, you know, the scriptures
right.
that God brought me to, and there again, as we started the beginning show talking about looking back on things in our past that have made us, strengthened us to where
right.
the point that we are today. I am stronger in the Lord now, you know, than I was many, many years ago because of what I came through.
Exactly. And, you know, with that in mind, it's so important that we do date things in our Bible mm-hmm. when God gives us a quote-unquote rhema word, which
right.
when a verse or a section of Scripture just stands out to us, speaks to our heart, and we know that's God talking mm-hmm. through that Scripture. It's important that we date that and maybe even write a note what was going on in our lives at that time, because it's amazing how God revisits some
yes.
of the same Scriptures
yes,
over
does.
And over in our life,
mm-hmm.
and we realize He speaks to us at this time about with that Scripture, and maybe 10 years later with that
right.
same Scripture. Very faith-building, if you ask me.
Very, very faith-building.
To yeah. know that He remembers what He gave us
yes,
10 years ago.
Yes, He did. We need that one again, so He gives it to us again. You know?
And then it, oh, yeah, uh-huh. I remember that. Verse 23 of Joshua 4. Yes, God your God dried up the Jordan's waters for you until you had crossed, just as God your God did at the Red Sea, which had dried up before us until we had crossed. This, now we find out in this verse here, verse 23 and 24 of Joshua 4, why God did this. You know, we don't always find out why He does things.
That's
but
true.
But He explains it right here. This was so that everybody on earth, that includes our listeners, that includes you, that includes me, that includes our beautiful engineer Cedric in there, and all of these people that listen, Nan, so that we would all recognize how strong God's rescuing hand is, and so that you would hold God in solemn reverence always. You got your King James. You were just now reading out the message. Read 23 and 24, Joshua 4, 23 and 24 in your good old King James,
good old King James
that we tease you about, but
it's
wonderful.
Okay. It's
a wonderful translation.
It's all love. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye fear the Lord your God forever. I like the forever part.
Woo, I love that too. We're going to Jeremiah 32:17 here. These are so cool verses in the book of Jeremiah. If you have your Bible, let's run back there a minute. I've got the Message Bible in front of me, but let's find your King James in a minute. Starting with verse 17 of Jeremiah 32, so it would be turned right in your Bible. There is nothing you can't do, talking about God. You're loyal in your steadfast love to thousands upon thousands. Ooh, hallelujah. There is nothing that God can't do. And then again in verse 26 of that passage, then God's message came again to Jeremiah, and He said, Stay alert. I am God, the God of everything living. Is there anything I can't do? So listen to God's message. No doubt about it. And then he goes on and says what it is. Read that verse, would you? Just that one verse, Nan, verse 26 in your King James.
26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying. Read more?
Yeah.
Behold, well, you says 26.
Oh, well, I can't tell in the Message
I know,
Bible.
Sorry. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Mm-hmm. Is there anything too hard for me?
Is there anything too hard for me? Well, there used to be a song we used to sing and worship years ago at our church in Indiana. Is there anything too hard for me? Great song from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Interesting that Jesus really makes reference to this in Matthew 19:26 when he says, there is nothing is impossible with God. Okay, so he turns it around. God is asking the question here in the book of Jeremiah. Is there anything too hard for me? And Jesus turns around in Matthew 19:26 and says, there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing, you know. And we're building faith right now, Nan, as we go through this show, because this show is all about taking territory. We're in a Taking Territory Time series, T3. Yes. And we are talking about taking the territory. And part of the territory we need to take today on this show for each of us involved in it, Betty, as soon as she calls in, call in anytime, Betty. All of us is that we let go of our doubts. We let go of our what ifs or whys, and we move into an absolute mindset of, is there anything too hard for God? Answer is no. and to quote Jesus, there is nothing impossible with God. There's nothing. And so we are reestablishing our faith right now with Joshua chapters 4 and 5 and with this concept in Jeremiah. And, ooh, praise God. Whoa, I think she's just called in. Is that right? All right, here we go. I want your comment on, is there anything too hard for God, Betty, up in Indiana, who was right here in the studio with us last Sunday?
There is nothing too hard that God can't do.
Amen.
Hi, Betty. Nothing. Hi, Betty, how you doing?
Hey, Nan, how you doing, girl?
I'm doing good, lady.
Sister in the Lord.
I wish you were here right now. We'd be having a lot of fun.
Hey, we would be, too. In fact, I would trade you weather anytime.
I bet you would. Ours is beautiful.
Yeah, I bet. It's real beautiful here, about 35 degrees.
Yeah.
Is that the high?
That's a high, kid.
Yeah. Wow. Our low has nowhere hit there yet. Just saying. Sorry.
Well, Betty, we're talking today about building our faith. And that we have got to begin to change our mindset. Graham Cook says you change a mindset by replacing it with a different mindset. Okay?
Yes.
So if my mindset is full of doubt and unbelief and I don't see how God's going to pull me out of this, we sink down into a spiral. You know what I'm saying? Do you want to comment on all that?
Yes, and I think the point that you're trying to make here is that our mindset plays along with how we feel, that we need to focus more on the Lord.
Amen.
And let the devil know that you are not going to accept that negative mindset, that it's time to move forward. And he wants to keep us under that grasp of, well, you know, I've got you here. This is where I'm going to keep you. No, you don't receive that. No,
right.
Because God wants you farther up on in your walk with Him.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's hard, and we admit that. You know, we admit that there's times that circumstances are so huge. I mean, all the children of Israel standing on the shore of the Red Sea, and then later at the shore of the Jordan River when they were overflowing their banks, had to be a little daunting when they looked at their circumstances, don't you think?
Oh, heavens, yes. It's like us. Maybe some of the circumstances in our own life looks like, oh, walking through the Red Sea, you know, that's impossible, and not even getting our feet wet. that's impossible. But you know what? All things are possible through Christ.
Amen. Amen. And so we change our mindset by concentrating on, meditating on, leaning on, speaking out of our mouth that nothing is impossible with God. And what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, all things are possible to him who believes. Woo.
Powerful.
Yes, I love this little sentence, and I don't even know where I got it. I've had it in my Bible for a while. Faith believes without understanding why.
Awesome.
Sometimes we don't understand why we are like, okay, all right, God, you said it. I believe it. That settles it. But, I mean, even though that's a nice thing to know and to say, sometimes we don't feel that way, do we?
No. No, not at all. In fact, we have a tendency just to sit around and just stew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And by stewing, that makes our mindset even go lower than that. And, you know, God wants us and wants better things for us than that.
Absolutely.
Don't you think, Marcia?
Absolutely. And I think there's so many times that our listeners, and I know all of us in the past, there's been times that we just begin to wallow in the pain of what's going on. We begin to wallow in the what ifs, and we begin to wallow in the negativity, and we can get sucked down into that rabbit hole so quick and make your head spin.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But you know what? When our mindset changes, mm-hmm. all of that can change, and then we realize that even before we get sucked down into that we can pull ourselves out by leaning into the Lord.
Ooh.
And letting him minister to us and pull us out.
Absolutely.
Before we even get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. And, you know, this thing of setting your mind, I'm just, as you were saying that, it reminded me of a scripture in Colossians. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I think it's Colossians 3:1, to tell you the truth. Yep, there it is. Colossians 3:1. I'm reading now the NIV. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Let me have your comments on this in a minute, Betty. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Woo!
You know, that hits home with so many things in our own lives, that when we look to God, all of those other things seem so trivial.
Right.
yeah. You know, those you can take those 12 stones and you can make, go back and look at where you've been. But you know what? He brings us to a place of worship.
Yes.
That if we just confess with our mouth the things that we want and talk to him.
Right.
It's amazing what can happen to that. Oh, me, you know, pity me. All of those things just kind of fade away, don't they?
They fade away. They take a back seat. Nan just pulled up the Message Bible in Colossians 3, didn't you?
Yes, I like that.
Would you read it? Because I don't have it in front of me. 1-4, I think it is. Yeah, Colossians 3:1-4. Go ahead, Message Bible.
So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it.
Ooh. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let's do that again.
Do that again, man.
If you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it.
Hmm.
Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. Hmm. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with the obscurity like Christ.
Woo. Okay. That's pretty strong right there in the Message Bible, Betty. I love that.
That is awesome. Can you just like... All things are washed away, you know.
Right.
There's no more. When we look up and we get down on our knees and we lift our praises and our thanksgiving to him, that all washes away. But just, I can't imagine when the Lord comes back what it's going to be like. Oh, mercy.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when we were talking last week and the week before in Joshua 3 about how God said to Joshua, tell the people to keep a distance between them and the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God, so they can always see it in front of them when they're walking across this riverbed. And they were to keep their eyes on the anointing. They were to keep their eyes on God's presence. And if they did, then they wouldn't be worried about, well, is the next step I take, is it gonna, am I gonna be drowned? You know, when we keep our eyes, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when we keep our eyes fixed on his presence, Nan, comment on that, and then I'm going to Betty about this. I mean, this is huge concept right here. And it really has everything to do with an act of our will, fixing our eyes.
Sometimes it's difficult to do that. I mean, sometimes we're successful at that, and I think sometimes we're not successful at that.
Right.
And there again, that's just Satan coming in with a lie, trying to make us not realize the reality and the truth of the situation.
Yeah, because we're so easily distracted because we're like little kids that, you know, or a little cat that follows a laser beam.
Right, exactly,
or,
yes.
You know, or whatever, just easily, oh, there's a laser beam, go. You know, or like my dogs when they see a squirrel, right, Betty? Woo!
Yes, yes. In fact, I have four of those that love the laser light. And but you know what?
Talk.
In our own walk with the Lord, and I'm sure that I've experienced this in my own life, and I'm sure you and Nan have too, that when I'm in the Word,
yes,
I'm on my knees, I'm praising God, none of this things of the world can affect us.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
when we start taking our eyes off of the Lord, and we can't see it, we can't touch it, or we can't really grasp the concept of it, we have a tendency to tilt a little bit, you know, towards one way or the other, and that's where we lose our faith. But our faith is believing in the Lord and trusting in him, walking with him. It makes things so much easier. Having battles, yes, we are going to have battles. Been battling, you know, today, period. And realizing that if people would keep their eyes on the Lord,
right,
keep their nose out of other people's business.
There you go.
None of this. Just think how much glorious it would be.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the whole thing. It's a process of learning how important it is to focus. Focus, focus, focus. When you were talking there, it reminded me of Hebrews 12.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And I think a lot of times that sin is distraction. It is worry. It is anxiety. It is fear. It is all of that. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I think, Betty, it's so hard to realize that Jesus had to keep focus too. You know, we think that he never had a struggle. He never had in anything. He didn't sin, but he had to continue to focus on the joy, it says right here, that was set before him and what his mission was. And I think sometimes we forget our mission.
Yeah, we do. And I think if you think of the Lord, you know, he was in there, in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
And that had to be a struggle.
Yes.
But, you know, we think of him as being the Almighty, but I'm sure that, you know, the devil tempted him, as it says in the Bible. And it's just like when you were talking about running a race with myself in the last, 6 months to a year, walking in a marathon.
Right. Cool.
Where I had to persevere. I had to keep my eyes focused.
Yes.
And keep walking, whether I wanted to or not. I wanted to keep walking because, you know what, I wanted to finish that race for the first time. And it happens in our walk with the Lord daily that if we just focus on Him and remember that we are running a race.
Right.
And but guess what? Guess what that prize is at the end? That's, you know, the Lord reaching His hand down and saying, okay, well done, my faithful and kind servant. You have done so good. I am so proud of you. And that's what could happen to us on a daily basis if we would just focus on Him.
When we do that, and I so agree with you, the devil gets scared because James 4, 7, and 8 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we start submitting to God and get our eyes right where they need to be and off of people and what they said and how they acted and how they behaved and how we don't like what they just did. When we get our eyes over there on all of that, we are going to lose our strength because we lose our joy. That's what happens. Nan, do you want to comment on that?
I was thinking something that Betty said about God saying, expressing pleasure, I can't think of the right word here, of us doing whatever we have accomplished.
Yeah, he's proud of us.
Proud of us, that's it. He's proud of us. And, you know, I can think there's a few people in my life that when they let me know, I'm proud of you, Nan. I'm proud of you for doing that. You know, it my heart gets all excited. I mean,
right.
I get excited. I don't necessarily express that to them, but I get all excited that person took note to say,
yes.
I'm proud of you for what you've done. How much more excited we should be when our Heavenly Father lets us know, I'm proud of what you've done.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, you know what? It can catapult us to a new level in Him.
Ooh.
Because sometimes we take the words that people say to us, and I think sometimes we digest them more than we digest of what God has told
Amen.
Us, is that He loves us more than anything else in this whole world, and that He wants us to be successful, He wants us to be happy, He wants us to receive the joy that comes from knowing Him, and it is great to be able to know that our Heavenly Father loves us no matter what.
Ooh. Oh, and so He does. Let's listen to this song by the group New Song, The Same God.
Back to the wall, scared you fall. What you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why. It's like the world against you. You
parted the Red Sea, the same God that caused the water to stand up at the Jordan River is the same God that is with us now. I love that song and how it fit perfectly into what we were talking about. The same God who let us in will lead us out. We got to lay down the fear and the doubt. Ooh, he is the same God who was with us then is with us now. That same God that did that in the children of Israel, this happened about 1,300 years before Jesus was born. So about 3,300 years ago, these events happened in the Red Sea and the Jordan River. That same God is the same God we serve right now. Nan, comment on that, and then I'll get to Betty. Woo! That's a bell ringer there, girl.
Woo! You know, you had shared, you know, as you do at times, the scripture we were going to be focusing around, but then you never know how the Lord's going to lead.
Never know.
You know, what you had originally planned on going with. And when I was reading this, I thought, that's pretty cool. That's the God I serve. I mean, right. look at this mighty miracle that he performed and what he provided to them, which is what they needed. And just as he provided what they needed,
right,
he'll provide what we needed on circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in life.
And he cared about them getting across the Jordan River. He cares about the details in our lives. Betty, yeah, up there in Indiana, come in, if you will.
Yes, ma'am. I think that if the God has never, he's not brought us this far to leave us.
Right.
And I think, you know, he said that to the people back then. He's saying it to us now.
Yes.
The one thing that in that song, fear and doubt, is probably one of the biggest things that most of us fight.
Yes.
Is you know, we can't see it. We can't see it, Pastor. But
right.
You know, I'm afraid to take that. I'm afraid. Here we go out of that. We're going out of the box again. I'm going to go out of my comfort zone.
Right.
If, like I said, if he's brought us this far, he's not going to leave us, is he?
Amen. 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 And let's go on to Joshua 5, verse 1, and see that when all the Amorite kings, and by the way, that meant pride. So, you know, when people come up against us and they're full of pride and they're full of how cool they are and things like that. Interestingly enough, that was a metaphor for that. When all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings along the seacoast heard how God had stopped the Jordan River before the people of Israel until they crossed over, their hearts sank, the courage drained out of them just thinking about the people of Israel. Isn't that interesting that when people hear how God moves in our lives and answers prayer, then those spirits, demonic spirits that operate through certain people that try to discourage us and defeat us, the courage of those spirits is absolutely just cut down to nothing. Nan, comment on that, and I'll get to Betty on that. So interesting when we see God's greatness.
Mm. It is when we see him move in our own lives. You know, okay, it increases our faith.
Right.
Which is what we're talking about today, faith. It increases
right.
our faith when we see God perform a miracle in someone else's life.
Yes, it does.
It increases our faith greater
right.
when we see it happen in our own lives.
Right.
Because it's us. I mean,
right.
it's us that he's performing that miracle for, working in our lives.
Right.
And Satan doesn't like that at all.
Betty, you want to comment on this concept?
Yes, I sure can.
Please.
You know what is so, it is so great? Is how much of a blessing it is to be able to lift up a friend, lift up someone who is down, maybe not feeling well, and then all of a sudden, you know, you talk to them the next day and say, hey, you know what, your prayer worked.
Yes, yes.
It increases our faith.
Doesn't it?
Because we were able to see that with, you know, in prayer, be able to see that manifest in front of us.
Amen.
And again, it doesn't have to be something spectacular. It's just something as a friend saying, hey, you know, I've been struggling with this for, you know, for a couple of days. You prayed for me, and you know what? I feel like that burden has lifted. You know
Praise
what? That
God.
Makes the devil tremble.
He hates it. It scares him.
He absolutely hates it, and it's amazing what God can do. And he's still in the miracle working business, Pastor.
He is. Amen and amen. Go, Nan.
Well, I'd like to say, speaking of prayer, mm-hmm. about our Beacon prayer ministry
mm-hmm.
that we
Go
have.
Go right ahead.
And through that, I'll share that in a second, but through that, we've seen many
hundreds
answers,
and hundreds
answers
and
to
hundreds
those prayers.
Of prayers.
And sometimes people send back, you know, notes to say, God did this, God did that, thank
right.
you for praying for me. Other times it's people in our own congregation
right.
who I've listed things on the prayer line before, and I saw God move and answer, and I would share at church how God answered.
Right.
But we have a prayer ministry through Beacon, and it's online. You can send a prayer request to there, and the one of the people who's on the group that picks them up will pick it up, will send out the prayer request as well as a prayer along with it in case someone is who's a picking it up, you know, when the email goes out, and if they maybe don't really have time or can think of a good prayer, they can read that prayer, you know, to God, and God hears that. But it's prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
And if someone wants to be on the list that receive the prayer request from our person sends it out, they can also send that in to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and they can be on that group that receive it to be able to
Amen.
Pray for them.
You know, that part of the ministry has been going on 4 or 5 years now, and I mean hundreds and hundreds of people we don't know who these people are, you know, we hear from, or it's somebody's friend, you know, or they're a friend of a friend of a friend,
right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
But it's amazing because there is power in prayer,
yes.
and that's what it's all about. Betty, you want to comment on that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we've been prayer warriors for quite a while, haven't we, Pastor?
Absolutely, because you were part of my church in Indiana and some 25 years ago or so.
Yeah, we're getting younger.
Yeah, it's true.
And in the spirit.
There you go.
And what is so awesome about that is that we, is through our prayers, is, you know, we may not know those people, but the Lord does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's just in the short time that I've been a part of your prayer team, I've seen some mighty, 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 mighty works of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's just amazing that even back, you know, back in New Testament times or Old Testament times that he was working. And guess what? You know, here it is 2012. And I think that we have yet to see what the Lord's going to do in the next few years.
Oh, I know. It's going to be mighty. And it is. I want to direct our attention to Hebrews 11:6, because you're so right about what you just said, Betty, and what God is doing through prayer is amazing. And the basis of that is this whole thing we're talking about today, which is faith. Because without faith, why pray? If you don't believe that God hears you, and if you don't believe that he answers, and as you're finding Hebrews 11, I want to quote 1 John 5:14-15, two of my favorite verses. Nan always makes note of my favorite verses, and these are two of them.
What was that again?
1 John 5:14-15, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we know he hears us, this is the confidence. It starts out, this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have the requests that we've asked from him. So faith is the key here. And Hebrews 11:6 says this in the NIV. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who consistently, earnestly seek him. Whoa, he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Betty, comment on that. Whoa.
No, the key word is consistently.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't, and I'm sure we're all guilty of it at times, that we get so busy in our lives that we maybe kind of hesitate to talk to our Heavenly Father. But, Marcia, the key word is consistent, because that keeps our mindset clear.
Yes.
It keeps us free of any obstacles, and that, you know, those two words from that song, fear and doubt.
Right.
It keeps that low key. It keeps it way down, way down. And it's amazing what faith can do. Even throughout Hebrews, everything is Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's all through that scripture. It's all through the Bible. If you read the word, faith happened in the Old Testament, and it's happening in the New Testament, and it's still happening today.
Woo! Absolutely. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We all want to please God. So the key to pleasing him is to learn to believe that what he said is true. And if he promised you healing for your body, if he promised you prosperity for your finances, if he promised you, which he has all of these things, if he promised to give you peace, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If he promised these things, Nan, it's up to us to receive the gift. We're getting close to Christmas right now in 2012. And if somebody gives you a gift, your mother gives you a gift, and you say, wait a minute, I don't like that paper that it's wrapped in. I really don't even want to open it because I'm sure I won't like it because I hate the paper. And you don't even know what's inside, but you don't even make any effort to open it because, you know, you got an attitude about what it's going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Go ahead with
that. I'm supposed to go with that?
Go ahead with it.
I was reminded, my brother turned 45 yesterday, and he works out of the country, but he's on a little bit of period here with us, visiting with us. And we had his birthday party yesterday, and we all gave him gifts.
Okay.
He received them.
All right.
You know, he didn't, mine wasn't wrapped. It was in a JCPenney's box. But he received that nonetheless, regardless of what it looked like. He received it, and then he received the gift that I had gotten for him, that was some stuff that he could use and need, you know, so.
And so, when God offers us the free gift of eternal life, God offers us peace of mind. He offers us strength through the scriptures in his word. It's up to us to receive those with an open heart and not stand there and going, I don't know if this is going to work.
I think sometimes people beat themselves up and they say, I'm not worthy of that.
Yes.
I'm not worthy of peace. I'm not worthy of whatever that the Lord is offering to them through the word, because he offers all the stuff to us through the word. I mean, that's his love letter to us, and that's his, you know, what he offers us. And I think sometimes people feel less than, as you have spoken on before, feel less than and don't think they're good enough to receive, but they are. It's not about being good enough. It's
Amen.
Not about being good enough.
No. Amen. Betty, you want to weigh in on all that?
Oh, sure. You know, the old saying, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, sometimes, you know, first impressions, when I first met you, I could not judge you because I did not know you. But I realized that what gifts you had to offer were yet to be opened.
Okay.
And you have to sit and listen with your ears, see with your eyes what gifts that the Lord wants you to have. And when the devil comes in and he masks the gifts that the Lord has for you, it makes you feel less than I don't deserve that.
Right.
It takes a lot for some people to dig down deep into their heart and realize that, yes, I am worthy of that gift. I am worthy of the Lord. And it's like someone told me maybe about a month or so ago, look at yourself in the mirror and tell me what you see. Is that you see a child of God standing before you, that the Lord loves you more than anything else, and you know what? You are beautiful in his eyes no matter what.
Right.
And don't let the enemy tell you any different.
Amen.
Because what you see on the outside may be someone who is downtrodden, who has been beat up by the world, and who Satan has under into his grasp. Reach out, show your gifts, let your gifts be seen, and you know what? The Lord will reward you greatly.
Ooh, amen. Well said. Hang on with us, Betty. Station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
And welcome all that Little Rock area, Memphis, Tennessee, and those different states around there that get this program live, and the Tampa Bay area, and the ones who listen on the web, which is www.com. www.tantalk1340.com. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're glad you've joined us today. We're in a lively discussion with two of our radio team members, Nan and Betty. Betty's from Indiana. Nan's right here in the studio with me. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. So we're going to go on and talk about some really cool things. But before we do, Nan, we've changed our service times on Sunday. Now our weekend service has changed. You want to tell them about that?
Instead of having a Sunday morning service,
right,
we're having a Sunday evening service.
Yes,
it begins at 7 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. I'm sorry about that. I was going to go at 7. Was
all
I
right.
going to miss the singing, I
yeah,
guess?
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
And it's just a change to be able to accommodate and assist those who have challenges of getting up to be somewhere at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We allow them to sleep in, and then they can come on and join us at 6 o'clock.
There you go. So you're welcome. You have time to join us at Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Easy to find tonight at 6 o'clock for the teaching of the Word and worship and praise and just a good time together. So it's always fun to share God's Word and what mm-hmm. He's doing in our lives. Mm-hmm. You all just mentioned the prayer team and the prayer line. It's an email line, and it's prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Check it out. Send in prayer requests. You will be responded to immediately within a few hours, if not very quickly. Our website for Beacon of Hope is beaconofhopeministries.com. Our new outreach endeavor that began last Sunday night with our first outreach in Blur in the nightclub in downtown Dunedin is Buckle Up, and then there's a number 4. buckleupforchange.com. So you can go to that website and check out what we're doing. And the whole goal there is to going outside our walls to reach people where they are, just as they are, with God's love. That's what we're all about, man.
That's what we're all about. We need to reach out, you know, to people, which is why this is such an exciting portion of the ministry.
Yes.
There's a lot of hurting people in the world, and
Amen.
They need to know that they're loved by us, but more importantly, that they're loved by God.
Amen.
And we're the ones who can carry that message to them to let them know how much they are loved by God. And,
Amen.
And, you know, it's a pretty exciting ministry. We, you know, like you've already said in the first part of the first hour, you know, we had a blast there. I mean, God just really was there, and the anointing was on the singing. The anointing
Our new
was
band.
On the,
yeah, they're great.
The brief, you know, sermonette that you gave. And, you know, just a time for people to say hi to each other.
And
it was
fun. It was just fun. Betty, you're up in Indiana, but, you know, with the miracle of technology, it's amazing. You can be a radio team member from up there. And there are so many people in other states who listen to this show regularly or catch it on our website later because it's always on by Monday or Tuesday following the show. Pretty cool what technology can do these days, isn't it?
Oh yeah, the communication is so much greater. I mean, to be able to sit here and talk to you on the radio, again, number 3 on my bucket list to be able to be on the radio.
Wow!
But it was so awesome to be able to sit in that service last Sunday at Blur and see how God is moving outside mm-hmm. of the walls.
Right.
And then you guys have the what is it, Christmas in the Park coming up?
Yeah, Dunedin, Highlander Park. It's going to be a great Christmas time. Great music from our Buckle Up Band and some other special music. And it'll be fun on December 23rd, Sunday night, 6 o'clock. So come out to Dunedin, Highlander Park. But bring a chair, camp chair, because there's no chairs out there. So you don't want to sit on a cold piece of ground there. But anyway, it's cool. It's cool what God's doing, Betty. We're glad you're a part of it.
Oh, I tell you what, the people of Tampa or surrounding areas, if you want, when Megan and I came down last week, we're so blessed by the people of Beacon of Hope. They are a very loving and compassionate group of people, and they should be very, very proud to be able to call that a church home. I said, bring them up to Indiana and let them experience some of the services here and let them come back to Tampa and realize how God is moving down there, and he's
Praise
moving
God.
In a mighty way.
Amen.
And he's going to move even stronger as, you know, as we get closer to his coming back.
Amen.
Is that you guys are going to be a part of that and reaching out, because the harvest is great out there, and you guys are a big part of bringing people in. And he is so proud of you guys, just so proud.
Well, kind words. Thank you.
I love you, Betty.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to this next song, and then we'll get back to Betty and to Nan in a moment. What Faith Can Do by the group Cutlass.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water, but it'll be alright. Life's so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky.
Praise God. He's still a miracle working God, man.
He's still a miracle working God.
Oh, my. That's what we're talking about here in the book of Joshua, how God directed Joshua, the leader, after Moses died. Joshua took over. Joshua was the one who actually was allowed to lead the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. But it goes back to the fact that Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies back in Numbers chapter 13 who were sent into the promised land to come back with a report. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of 12, not very good odds, who came back with a positive report. We can take this land. We can do it. The produce is huge. Yeah, there are giants, but hey, no big deal. We can do it because we got God on our side. Betty, that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter how big the giants look in our lives. It doesn't matter how daunting tomorrow looks. And we all have those times in our lives where tomorrow looks very daunting and very hard, you know, just to get up in the morning and go do what we got to do. But when we realize that with God, we are a majority. I mean, My dad used to pass out these little cards, Betty, and I still have some. He passed them out for 35 years, and it said, God is greater than any problem I have. Nan, you have one. I gave you one a long time ago from my dad.
Yes.
God is greater than any problem I have. When we realize that, then these obstacles that loom so tall, health issues, finances, whatever the issues might be, They take a back seat. That hugeness of the problem takes a back seat to the miracle working power of God. This is what faith can do. I love that song, Betty.
Oh, it was awesome. I said especially that nothing is impossible.
There we go again.
You know what? Impossible is not a word in God's dictionary.
Amen.
If he has one.
Right.
And it's amazing that even though we may be facing some financial difficulties, those are a giant in a lot of people's lives that we don't quite see it happening yet. Just wait. By faith, it will happen. And it's amazing what God can do. It's amazing.
It is. And what faith can do here and believing that God can. Nan, there are times when we are waiting on that miracle that the devil comes and tries to take our peace and our joy. Does he not?
Yes. He does.
Have you ever experienced that, Nan?
Yes, I have. God made me a promise about 2.5 years ago, and I've not yet seen that come to pass.
Sure. I've got some of those. They're still on the shelf, waiting on the fulfillment.
Waiting. But, you know, and it's during that waiting time that you learn, and you will be very appreciative.
Right.
Of God fulfilling the promise that he's made to you. And in the meantime, while you're waiting on the fulfillment of that promise, Satan comes along with his little lies and tries to say, he's not going to do that. That's not going to happen. That's not really going to happen. Well, yeah, it is, because my God says it's going to happen. And you can reflect back on the examples of what we've been reading today. He did that. So he can fulfill the promises that he's made to me.
Always, we're going to get to you, Betty, on this. John 10:10. Always remember what Jesus said in John 10:10. He said, the thief, meaning the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus went on to say, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows. That's what we have in Jesus. The devil is always going to try to take our peace, take our provision, take our relationships, take our whatever, joy. Betty, comment on all that, please, while I get a drink of water.
Okay, when you with me, it raises a warrior spirit in me, because
I have seen
people so devastated by what the devil has tried to put upon them, from fear, doubt, anger.
Mm-hmm.
Bitterness. I mean, I could go on and on and on, and that's what each of us, if we would just raise up and put your foot down, declare it, and say, no, I am not going to receive that. I am a child of God.
Amen.
And he is so faithful, and underline faithful for me. He is so faithful to deliver and help us through whatever giants or mountains that we face. When we're down in the valleys, he will lift us up and pull us out. That's his promise to us, Pastor.
Absolutely.
And I believe that if people, today I was in the spirit realm, was coming against a lot of animosity, a lot of resentment, discord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start preaching here in just a minute, so I got to calm myself down. That
it's all right.
A spirit of suicide, health issues, things that everything that the devil can possibly pull out, he is throwing at his children to try to get them to have a lack of faith in him.
Right.
But people, just get into the Word, pray, and declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And you know what that does in the spirit realm? It just makes the devil so angry, and that just makes me happy.
Exactly. It does make the devil angry. You know, the next point I want us to talk about is God's timing, because this is where I think a lot of people lose their faith, Betty and Nan. They get hung up on, well, it hasn't happened yet, so evidently God forgot. God lied. God, I misunderstood. Maybe God was talking a different language that day, or maybe I didn't hear it correctly. Maybe there's something wrong with my hearing ear. We beat ourselves up, and we also accuse God. And I am very aware, Betty and Nan, of the accuser of the brethren. Mm-hmm. And Revelation 12, 10 to 12 says the accuser of the brethren, he works day and night to accuse us before God. And he's just a liar and the father of lies. But the accuser of the brethren is always out there trying to accuse us to ourselves, accuse God to us. Oh, God didn't really say that, did he? Accuse us to other people. All of that accusation. And a lot of times it's not that, that's not the issue at all. It's simply that God's timing is not yet fulfilled for that incident or that situation we're believing for. Nan, you want to comment on that? And we'll get to Betty. And then we're going to go to Exodus. And I'm going to prove it to you. Go ahead.
I'm going to prove it.
I'm going to prove it.
Okay.
I love to prove it. That's why I love geometry.
I see. You like to prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Betty, on the geometry thing.
Geometry, please.
Well, I think, like, even in my life, I mean, that's the one I can talk about because I know that best.
All right.
Yeah, there have been times that in the midst of, while waiting on God, I'm like, maybe I haven't really heard from God.
Exactly.
But I did.
But the devil wants you to think you haven't.
He wants me to think that I haven't heard from God, but yet I know that I have. And then, you know, when I enter in prayer time with God and start talking to him about the situation, he's like, I made you the promise. I will fulfill what I promised you. Period.
Exactly.
I will do that. Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to what he's trying to put in you. I will end my time. And God's time seems to never be our time.
Never.
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 Okay, Betty, your comment before I prove this.
Okay. You know, the Lord was a warrior before any of us came along.
Okay.
And I totally agree with Nan. A lot of times our timing and the Lord's timing are two totally different timepieces.
Right.
And I think that where that word faith comes in, if we trust and believe and know by faith that the Lord will fulfill what he has promised us, that it will happen. And I think you preached several months ago about a Kairos moment.
Yes, that's God's opportune moment, right at that perfect moment, when that window opens.
Yes, and when that window opens,
yes,
watch out, because it will manifest itself so quickly. But in our timing, you know, it may not be just exactly what God wanted for us at that time, and we have to be able to trust in him and have faith that it will happen. And again, it won't be in our timing. I would much rather have his timing than mine.
Well, that's where that faith piece really comes into play and is so important. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Exodus 12, verse 40. This is back at the Passover as the children of Israel are getting ready to leave Egypt. Exodus 12, 40. The Israelites had lived in Egypt 430 years. Now, you know how I am about these numbers. 4 always talks about worldwide evangelism. 30 talks about God's anointing and anointing to rule, which is very interesting. So they lived in bondage 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, now, here's the point in the Message Bible that is huge right here. At the end of the 40 years, to the day, the very day. Is that what your Bible says, both of you? To the very day?
No.
Exodus 12:40. Well, in the Message Bible, at the end of the 430 years, to the very day, God's entire army left Egypt. God kept watch all night, watching over the Israelites as he brought them out of Egypt. Because God kept watch, all Israel, for all generations, will honor God by keeping watch this night, a watch night. So this was exact timing. Okay, now flip over to where we are in Joshua chapter 5. And we skipped some things about Gilgal, and that's, we'll pick that up another time. Maybe Pastor Jim will hit that. Verse 10 of Joshua 5. The people of Israel continued to camp at Gilgal. Remember, Gilgal means the rolling away, the cutting away of our past. They celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the plains of Jericho. This is, by the way, if you go back to Exodus, you'll realize this is exactly 40 years to the day of the Passover. Okay? Right away, the day after the Passover, okay, exactly 40 years, okay, that was those 40 years in the wilderness, they started eating the produce of that country, unraised bread and roasted grain, and then no more manna. The manna stopped. As soon as they started eating food grown in the land, there was no more manna for the people of Israel. That year, they ate from the crops of Canaan. I find this fascinating. God's perfect timing to the day. Betty, comment, will you, while I get a drink?
Well, one of the things that my Bible says, which is the NIV, says that to keep vigil, to honor the Lord for generations to come.
Amen. Yes.
So that tells me that,
amen,
I am the next generation. I mean, it happened from, you know, from time to time, but
yes,
God's timing is impeccable.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, it oversees anything that we could ever imagine or see, and he's, I know in my life, and I will use that as an example, his timing has not always been my timing. I mean, it took me, 20 years to get back in touch with you and your ministry.
Right.
And,
yeah,
but you know what? That was God's timing, because
it was.
There was a reason. There was a reason why we got back in contact. There was a reason. And his timing, maybe I should have contacted you 10 years ago, but the timing would not have been as great as it was during his timing.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to me that God provided during that time, those 40 years, in his own way with the manna, that they had to have every single day a fresh supply, or otherwise it would get wormy and yucky and gross because they didn't have refrigeration. Nan, you want to comment on this?
Well, just as God provided on a daily basis for their needs, their physical needs to sustain life, so does he respond to us and take care of us many times on a daily basis. I can't necessarily, a lot of times we try to bar tomorrow's troubles.
Exactly.
We haven't even arrived there yet. You
right.
know? But God will see us through day by day, just as he did them with the sustenance that they needed to sustain their living.
And when that time for that manna was finished to the day, then the very next day they started eating the produce of that country. And it was all this rich stuff, cinnamon raisin bread, which I love. And and also they had great grain cereal, it says here, roasted grain and unraised bread and all of that good stuff. Betty, you want to comment on that, how God then supplied even better than the manna? The manna was okay for a period of time. I don't know how they stood eating the same thing every day for 40 years, but they did. But then when that was over, they suddenly had that abundance of which Jesus talks about. I came to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows.
Yeah, he doesn't give us in little small increments. He gives it to us abundantly according to our needs.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a just as an example of, you know, meeting the needs of for produce or food. A friend of mine was struggling with finances and so forth. But you know what? God came, his impeccable timing for giving people something abundantly is that he didn't provide just a loaf of bread. He provided sacks and sacks and sacks of groceries.
Wow.
That met their needs. Now, it wasn't anything extravagant. They did get some raisin bread.
Okay.
But it came to the point where they asked God, Lord, can you provide the manna that we need for our lives? And in came sacks and sacks of groceries. It was like fruits and vegetables. And I'm sure that's the way that the people felt when the Lord provided for them after, you know, 40 years. Amazing. I mean, it just, it blows my mind what God can do, and he does it more abundantly than what we could ever imagine.
And you are actually quoting Ephesians 3:20-21 in, I mean, paraphrasing it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to do abundantly above and beyond all that we ask or think. Man, that's a lot of blessing, above and beyond all that we ask or think. Because in our own minds, we just ask for a little bit. Oh, God, you can just bless me a tiny bit, you know?
I think we need to go boldly unto him before the
Hebrews
Lord and 4, ask
16
him.
Says that. Exactly. Go boldly to the throne of grace.
Exactly. And we're entitled to do that.
Exactly.
And so many times we don't do that.
Yeah.
There again, like I something I said earlier, I think sometimes people don't feel they're worthy.
Exactly.
And it's so not based on their worthiness.
It's not.
It's not.
It's based on our favor that we all have with God and how much he loves us. And we've got to do this Ray Bolt song. I mean, Ray was actually on the show live with us a few weeks back. What a great guy. And he'll be back with us again sometime. But we did this song then. But it pertains right now. And then we'll talk to you, Betty and Nan, in just a minute. Here comes A Miracle by Ray Bolts.
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke the word of faith, you could hear them say, "Here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle.
Oh, can't you feel it?
Can't you feel it in the air? That look is all. I know a miracle is near. The lame could walk, the deaf could hear, blinded eyes could see. Those who had been bound for years were suddenly set free. They came in desperation, the hurting and the poor. But when they saw him through the crowd, they knew what was in store. Here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle. Nothing is impossible. What he says, he'll do.
though this world may doubt us, and though they laugh and stare, someday all men will see the truth when we see him in the air. Here comes a miracle. Here comes a miracle. Can't you feel it in the air? Soon
praise God, a miracle's near, dear listener. It is upon you, and it is time to receive it. I really feel in the spirit right now that there are some of you that are saying, yeah, that's for somebody, but it's not for me. It can be for you if you reach out in faith and ask God to do the work in your life, in your emotions, in your finances, in your relationships, whatever it might be. If you reach out in faith and say, God, here's what I need, because God's word says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and it and knock and it shall be open. So when we reach out in faith, God sees that faith and he honors that. And I feel like the Lord is saying to some listeners out there right now, stop being so shy, so reticent to reach out and ask for what you need, because God wants to supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Nan, do you have a comment?
I have a comment, if I may.
All right, and then we'll go to Betty.
Okay, I had to go out and get some more water because my water bottle ran dry. And I was walking, and there's a Bible in here. I'm not quite sure why they have a Bible in here, but they have a Bible in here. And I happened to look at it, and in Psalms, there's a couple of verses I just want to read that kind of goes along with what we're speaking of. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And then also, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry not come unto thee.
Yes.
Let my cry come unto thee.
Come unto thee. Amen.
So, I mean, but he's there, and he, you know, we can sing unto the Lord, and he's done marvelous things.
Woo.
We've been expounding on that with the parting of the rivers there.
Yeah.
He's been doing marvelous things.
And
he's doing it in our lives.
He's doing it in our lives right now.
He's doing it in our lives.
We need to reach out and expect this. Here comes a miracle. Betty, are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Now yes. I can, yeah.
We had the pleasure of actually getting to meet Ray Bolts many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when he sang that song, Miracle, it just reminded me of just, you know, those stones.
Yes.
A lot of miracles were performed that day at the congregation that we were in.
Really?
And it just goes to show you that no matter where we are, no matter who we are in Christ, that God is faithful.
Amen.
He will be there for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
That you know, Marcia, Pastor, that is his. It's between 8 and 5. It's Pastor.
That's her new rule, Nan. Between 8 and 5.
Between 8 and 5.
Is Marcia then later on?
Evidently, I don't know. Go ahead.
He's just. He's still in the miracle working business.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there are a lot of people out there that feel like that, well, you know, I'm above a miracle, you know, I'm below a miracle.
Below it,
no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you are not. And what Nan said is declare boldly before the throne that he asks us to come and talk to him.
Amen.
No matter where we are, whether we're in the car, we're out in the pasture,
that's where she hangs out, Nan, out in the pasture. Yeah. We don't go to the pasture, but you do, I know.
We don't have a pasture to go to.
that's where a lot of talk time
uh-huh.
comes into play.
Right.
Some of us go to the beach.
Right. That's
yes, Pastor.
Yes, we have that.
Just, it's a wonderful time to be able to talk to him and know that, you know, a miracle is on the horizon. And to be able to walk with him and talk with him is just, it's splendor. And it's awesome. It actually is awesome.
You know, you just said a huge key right there, Betty, and that is relationship with him. I think so many people they shy away from that, thinking that God doesn't have time for them, or their issues are too minor or too major, or whatever the case may be, that God isn't interested and that God's too busy. I mean, I hear this when I talk to people. I used to have a boss that would say that, oh, don't pray about that. That's too little. God doesn't mess with that. And you know, and what you were talking about here, Betty, in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace. It doesn't say throne of judgment. It doesn't say throne of anger. It doesn't say throne of vengeance or meanness. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. The throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That is Hebrews 4:16. What a cool verse. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll get back to Nan.
Well, I think that man has put us down to the point where we feel like that we have to be a certain way before we approach the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to, you know, we don't have to be clean. We don't have to be, we don't have to beat ourselves to the point where, okay, now I've done this, and that. Now I can go and talk to God.
Right.
No. Don't let the enemy convince you of that. You can go anytime, day or night, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. You can be in the four corners of the earth. The Lord's going to hear you. He's going to hear me in Indiana. He's going to hear you in Tampa.
Right.
He's going to hear the people in Arkansas and Tennessee. No matter where you are, he can hear you.
Exactly.
And it's just, it boggles my mind what sometimes the devil can do to us that makes us not want to talk to our Heavenly Father.
Right. A lot of times it's distractions. A lot of times it's, yes, inadequacy, feeling unworthy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it's lack of focus, Betty. I think we just get so drawn up in everything else in earth that we forget to really grow our relationship with the Lord. We forget. It's not on the front burner. It's almost like it's on the back burner of our minds. Nan, you want to comment on that before I get back to Betty on that?
I think you're right with that. I know that there are times that I get out of focus.
Right.
Because I get so focused on everything that's happening.
Right.
That I sometimes lose the focus of spending that time, you know, with him and, you know, just spending the time with him and listening to him, you know. And then once I said, oops, I'm catching myself, oops, I messed up, oops, and then I was like, well, geez, I almost embarrassed to go back to him now because of
yes.
And of course that's the accuser of the brethren,
right?
Good old Satan there bringing forth lies. Then I'm kind of, oh, I don't know that I want, I don't really hate, I don't know how, you know, you think you got to weasel up to God, and you don't have to do that. You can go confidently, as the word says.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead,
absolutely.
Betty, go ahead.
And I think even now, during the what we consider the holiday season, is that, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
And we will be so busy with, okay, we got, you know, Aunt Nan's coming in for Christmas, you know.
Right.
Grandma Marsh is coming in. Mm-hmm. We've got to get this done. And we get so busy with the worldly things that we think that we need to do during the holidays that it takes our time away from the Lord's time. And I think that if we would concentrate more on, especially during this time, of reaching out to people and saying, you know, I know that, you know, this is a busy time for you, but take a little bit of extra time and thank the Lord for what he has given us, for the birth of Christ.
Amen.
And it's so important now especially because the enemy has pulled out every possible thing that he can pull out of his bag of tricks, and we have to be aware of that, because that will distract us more than anything is the distractions that he throws at us. And don't be an accuser of the brethren. That is probably right now the key of today's message, is that walk in faith. By walking in faith, step on the devil, tell him he's a liar, tell him he's defeated.
Amen.
And it's so important to spend time with the Lord. And I know we get distracted.
We do.
Boy, do we get distracted.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about that, it was just wisdom there coming forth from Indiana, that Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, when the devil came to him on three different occasions, Jesus answered with the word, "It is written," and that's all in Luke chapter 4 and also Matthew chapter 4. You can find that story. And Jesus answered every single temptation. There were three of them with, mm-hmm. "It is written," and he followed it up with the scripture. And the first one was Deuteronomy 6:33, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." I think it's Deuteronomy 8:33. I think I said that wrong. 8:3, that's what it is. Deuteronomy 8:3. Okay, got it. Man, every word, we live by the word that comes out of our mouths. We live by God's word coming out of us. And so when we get so distracted with life that we don't even think about quoting a scripture or getting our prayers at a veil much book or something and quoting the word, then that doesn't even enter our mind. The devil has us right where he wants us. Nan, comment
on
that.
I think we obviously, in order to know the word, you have to spend time in the word.
There you go.
You know, I mean, how can you can't counter.
That's wisdom, Nan.
Yes, it is.
You can't counter
right.
What Satan's bringing against you with the word, as Jesus did, unless you know the word.
Exactly.
You know, so you need to spend time in the word. The Lord will speak to you through the word.
Amen.
And, you know, you'll be prepared for when Satan comes against you, that you won't be. If you read the word, if you spend time with God, if you listen to him, then you're going to be prepared. And when Satan comes against you, you're going to recognize it and identify
exactly.
it as such and say, nope.
Exactly.
Not going there. Not
right.
going there. My God said, da-da-da-da-da,
right.
and it's true, and I can trust him, and that we have to read and pray.
Exactly. Betty, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, sure will. It's amazing what God can do. We pulled out some old Carmen songs that when the devil reminds you of your past,
right.
remind him of his future.
Exactly.
And
yes.
you guys had, I think, Miss Connie had given my daughter and I a list of scriptures to be able in our daily
mm-hmm.
prayer life
right.
is right. If you can't remember scriptures, you get my age, sometimes scriptures just kind of all run together, is type them out, write them out, and keep them near
right.
so that you can remember that if, you know, the devil comes against you, you can come against him in the name of Jesus, because, you know, Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way.
Amen.
And that he is, the devil is defeated. But write down your scriptures. If you can't remember them or you don't have your Bible handy, I keep those scriptures that you give me in my back pocket now.
There you go. And you declare it,
and
you proclaim
it. I pull them out, and okay, now what was I can't remember. I still cannot remember where they're located in the Bible, but hey, I've got them right here in front of me, and I'm going to read them. And when I read them, it's like the devil has to flee.
Amen. Amen. And any listener out there that wants that list of scriptures, just write me, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we'll send it to you. We'll attach it in an email. So this is exactly what you have to do. The book that we've used, really, Betty, clear back to Indiana Cornerstone Ministry days when I had my Christian bookstore. One of the first books I ever ordered when I went to order books when I opened the bookstore in 1980, which is a long time ago. There you go. Was that first edition of Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. It's now a 3-volume set. But you can get it online. You can just go to Prayers That Avail Much, and there's prayers for every kind of need that you have, and it's all scripture. You quote the word, and the devil hates it, and he runs from the word. We're going to talk more about this in a moment and get some final thoughts from Nan and Betty in a few minutes. Let's go to this song by the Katinas, Believe.
If you choose to believe.
So true. You got to believe before you see it. That's what faith is all about. The faith is things that are hoped for, the title evidence of them before we ever see them, Nan. And so often we can get so caught up in the doubt and unbelief that we just can't even see that God is he's got the answer right there in front of us. We just got to reach out and believe God for it.
A thought just came to me as we're reaching, waiting for God and reaching out. We need to be careful and mindful who we surround ourselves with.
Oh, that's huge.
You know, if we have people around us who doubt,
right,
it's easier for us to allow that doubt to come in as Satan is coming through us, not through those people necessarily, but using their words, absolutely, mm-hmm. to speak doubt to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been around people with doubt, but then you've been around people who are uplifting, who are encouraging, who, yes,
right.
God is going to give that to you. I believe that.
Right.
You know, and we need to be mindful and careful who we, if we can control who's around us. Sometimes you can't control that, you know,
yeah.
and if you can't control that, God understands, and he's going to help you to not allow that to impact you because
right.
he knows you can't get away from it.
Right.
So that is the case.
That's
sometimes.
A good point.
You know, that you can't, I can, because of my life, and I don't have anyone in my life right now, and I can pick up and go where I want to go, when I want to go, and, you know, the church I want to go to, which I love my church, and they're all supportive, you know, I'm not bound by that, so I can control what is around me, except at work, I can't, but mostly you talk about work, and I don't get into my personal life with the people I work with, so there.
Good point. Betty, you want to comment on Nan's comment? Because I think that's a pretty important comment that Nan just commented.
Yeah, I don't know whether that I can top that one.
It's good, isn't it?
I know that the Lord is divine, that I have favor with him. You have favor. Nan has favor, and all of your listeners have favor with the Lord. And that he is faithful in what he says and what he will do. We just have to believe by faith that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. 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 And it's just a faith walk. It really is. But that's how we got saved, you know. And if there's anybody out there today who's not sure that they are a child of God and saved, you can do that right now by simply, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God sent Jesus to this earth to show us the Father, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that he can come and live on the inside of you. If you believe all that, and it says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, if you confess that with your mouth, so if you speak out of your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If some of you right now want to make that decision, do it right now as I'm saying this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then the second thing, I believe that God sent Jesus to this earth to show us the Father. And then I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. Come and live in me. And I often say, Betty, we don't see a plastic Jesus fly through the air and come down and lodge itself in our chest. You know, one of those little statues of Jesus. We don't see that. But we know that by faith, when we say those words and invite him to live on the inside of us, he comes and lives on the inside of us. It's that simple.
Amen. And I said, even that is so, I'm going to say this, it is so childlike that
right.
even children can grasp this concept.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sometimes people can't, you know, adults can't grasp this, but if, you know, let the little children come to me,
mm-hmm.
that it's so important to let the Lord in, open the door, and he will come in.
Amen. And once he does, he changes your life completely, because then there begins this dialogue with him. And we tease Nan about how God speaks to her through her, most of us would say the word poems. However, Nan calls them poems.
Poems.
Poems. P-O-Y-M-S. Poems. But he does speak to you through your poems, doesn't he, Nan?
Yes,
so
yes,
often he just says something to you and says, get a piece of paper. I've seen you at a restaurant write a poem out for a waitress. I mean, a server. You're amazing that God speaks to you that way.
Amazing.
God speaks through me a lot of times in the prophetic word. Here's mm-hmm. what God is saying in your life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's just an inner knowing, isn't it, Betty, that he speaks to us, or he speaks through the scripture.
Oh, yes. In fact, I have several poems
okay.
of Nan's, and I actually pronounced that right for the first time in almost 2 months.
Right.
But I have several of those, and it's like refreshment, you know?
Yes.
Is when someone gives you a word from the Lord, it renews your strength, mm-hmm. it renews your spirit, it renews your mind, because you know that that person heard from the Lord, and it's just... In fact, it gives me, I kind of call them Holy Spirit bumps, because
mm-hmm.
you think, you know, can God speaks to her? Well, someone's out there saying, well, could God speak to me that way? Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, most definitely. And it's amazing what the Lord does through Nan. It's amazing.
And, you know, it's by faith that we allow God to speak to us and through us. You know, we choose to believe that we're hearing his voice. This morning I picked up my Bible and what I opened to was exactly what I needed in Psalm 124, and then it just went on and on and on, and it was exactly, and it was like, whoa, you know, one of those, wow, that was God, you know, and he knew what I needed right that moment, Betty, and he just had me open to that right place in my Bible. So God speaks that way too, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, and it's just, it's amazing, even if you happen to flip on a radio station, if you happen to flip on a, you know, flip over as your channel surfing through
you know, through your television, and someone just happens to speak something to you, and it's like, whoa, that was for me.
Right.
And because you needed it at that point.
Exactly.
Time in your life.
And there might be some of those moments that have happened today during the show. You will be able to catch the show again sometime tomorrow evening or Tuesday on our website, and we leave them up there. So there's tons and tons of them on beaconofhopeministries.com for you to listen to. Go back and hear what God is saying. Nan, give us some final thoughts, and then Betty, I'm going to come to you for some final thoughts.
I just encourage people to exercise their faith.
Okay.
And to use their faith.
Right.
We can't make them. We can't do anything about that. That is an individual, personal choice to believe God and believe His Word. I would encourage them to read His Word. Get
right.
His Word down in their heart.
Exactly.
And then when Satan tries to come as a thief, as he comes to steal and kill and destroy, they'll be able to do just like Jesus did and speak the Word to them. And
Amen.
And they need to know where they stand with God. And the Word will let them know, and God will let them know as they spend time in prayer and reading His Word and with open heart.
Absolutely. Very well said. Betty?
I agree with Nan. I think to reiterate that Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan, one of my, and Connie, the people of Beacon of Hope Ministry, be aware of what the Lord has for you. Step outside of those walls, be loving, be kind, and minister in the way that God would have you minister. Be able to reach out and touch His people in a way that no one else has. Be kind, be loving, be considerate. Don't be accusers of the brethren. Love them like Jesus would, and be His hands in the, during this time, and watch what happens, how the Lord will move in your lives and in other people's lives. Give abundantly, and love people like they've never been loved before.
Woo.
And I know that the Lord has a purpose for each and every one of us.
And that was a word from God, and we receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, thank you for being that instrument. And what a joy, Betty, to have been reunited with you and your beautiful daughter, Megan, about a year and a half ago after so many years. And now for you to be a part of this ministry from a distance is just an absolute blessing to all of us here in the Tampa Bay area.
It's a blessing to have met Betty and Megan. It was
yes,
just awesome.
Aren't they great?
It was awesome.
They're
great time with them.
You have no idea what you have down there. We will continue, even though we're several thousand miles apart. You know, prayer reaches across those miles.
That's right.
And we will continue to uplift you in your ministry and what the Lord has for you.
Praise God.
Because everyone down there, us up here in Indiana, we love you guys, and we will support you with prayer. And whatever you need, we're here, man. We're here for you.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Nan. Thank you, Betty. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan, and Betty. Today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope, we encourage you, if you have a moment, come on over at 6 o'clock right now.
Amen.
To 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater, and enjoy an evening service with us for an hour and a half or so. We're going to worship God, and we're going to have some word and just some encouraging things. And Wednesday nights we have Bible study, which is a great interactive time. That one starts at 7. Sunday night starts at 6. Wednesday night starts at 7. But prayer meeting starts at 6:15 on Wednesday night. So we welcome you to join us. It's not far to Jesus. And go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, if you'd like to donate for the financial burden of this show. And that would be great. beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to PayPal. And we hope to see you and have you become a part of us in some service at some time if you're visiting the Tampa Bay area. Until then, God bless you. We hope to see you soon, and or join us next week, 3 o'clock Tampa time, for this radio broadcast. Have a great week. God bless you.
It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.